Happy Mother's Day. Good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. I often on these traditional Sundays, I often go back and I wonder what we did here at Myerstown 15 years ago. Thanks to technology, you know, I can go back. And about 10 years ago, we opened it up for a little bit of sharing time to say something about your mother. So we're actually going to do that here in a bit, so I'll give you some time to ponder that. As we think about Mother's Day and honoring our mothers, a way we can help each other honor mothers and also give pictures of what a godly mother is often in stories and in characters. So I'm going to open it up here in a couple minutes, and if you have a character about your mother that just stands out to you, or a thanks you want to give, or maybe an action that you remember from the past that stands out to you, I'm going to open that up, and I'm going to bring a mic around and give you opportunity to share in that. So be pondering that. You got the text this morning about Daniel Fisher's passing. Just lift up the family. It's a situation where he is not with his wife. They're still legally married. He has two daughters. Diane is actually up at Shenandoah. So just lift the family up through this time and pray that it could be a time of drawing people to God. Lift up Ray as well. Ray has dumped a lot of time into Daniel's life. And he went over last night and was there when he got the call from American House. So just lift up Ray this week as well, and the ministry as we plan the funeral. As we think about Mother's Day, neither of my mother-in-law are not here this morning, so maybe I can share some extra stories about them. They have meant a lot to me and to Ruth. And they have set godly examples of what a mother looks like. And throughout my sermon this morning, I'll share a snippet or two of things that stood out to me. But before I open it up to you guys to share something on your heart about a mother, I have a poem. And this came from Beside the Still Waters. So if you're reading that, you might have read it already this morning. But it was a beautiful piece on remembering our mothers. So follow along. When God made mothers... Just perhaps when God made mothers, it was not a chance affair. By some unplanned choice mutations with a billion years to spare. Just perhaps he had a purpose and a plan at the first one. With his eye upon the future, for a mother'd bear his son. First he started with the woman, for the man would never do. He has not the care or patience to raise the likes of me and you. For a child is very tender, like the center of an egg. Woman's heart is just the place to start a thing like this, he said. Then he made her soft and caring, so the little ones could sleep. In her arms and on her shoulder, they could come when hurt to weep. But he also gave her backbone, extra straight and rigid too. For he said she can't be caving when the self-willed ones come through. Then he added extra hearing, working even when asleep, that can hear the baby's whimper or the sound of sneaky feet. Extra channels to her thinking, let's add that too, he might have said, for she constantly must follow many things within her head. Next he added twice the patience and a mega dose of love, which is never quite depleted, because it's filled from God above. With the love he gave her wisdom that can see into your core, so she knows why Junior's wailing and why Sister's arm is sore. Last of all, he gave her beauty, which increases through the years. It's the kind that weathers nicely and won't smudge away with tears. Thank you, Lord, for godly mothers, crafted by your hands so true. For in them we can see clearly just a little more of you. Ryan Martin is the author of that poem. Mothers, we want to honor you today. We want to bless you. So what stands out to you about your mother, or an action or character that shows what a godly mother is. I'll give you opportunity. Raise your hand and I'll bring you the mic. You don't need to stand up.
Teresa and I have been very inspired by my mom's intentional service of others. Her life revolves around serving others, and we've been very inspired by that.
I mentioned it last Sunday, I think, or when I was doing my one sermon, and something that I just remember, Mom would put throughout the house Bible verses, like on the computer she had, "I was setting a wicked thing before mine eyes." In the bathroom, she would have something about who we are in Christ, and I just remember that, and so Mom's, there's little notes of different things, it is a blessing, and I remember them to this day.
My mother has a servant's heart and has been a wonderful example to me. A core memory that I will always remember is when she would invite too many people over for lunch, but it always worked out.
I was trying to think of one quality from my mom. One thing she always did was, all my growing up years, she was always cleaning for some old lady in town or taking them to the doctor, serving the elderly in the community. She showed me that quite well.
My mother is gone now 10 years, but she has, one thing I can attribute to her is that she taught me to eat what was set before me.
My mom just had her 88th birthday, and growing up, I just remember her place being one of welcome. She often had fresh air children, neighbor children, and it still continues on Saturday nights to be a gathering place for anyone, like her close friends and family. Like, she's hosting is very easy for her.
I have a lot of memories from my mother, but one that I often think of even today is one of her sayings she would have. If I'd get into a difficult situation or it rained on the hay or whatever, she would say, "Lester, this too shall pass." And so today, whenever something comes up in my life, I think, "Oh, this too shall pass."
One of the quotes my mother always said was, "If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it."
My mom loves to cook food, and she used that as a way of blessing others. I remember seeing her all throughout my life making a meal and taking food to people, and just a small, tangible way of, like, showing people you care, and that's definitely something that she's passed down to me. Like, it's, yeah, I like to be able to do that, but yeah, just watching her in something so small as just making extra food when she made our supper to give to somebody else. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, my mom's not here anymore. I couldn't remember exactly how many years she's gone, but as I got older, I think I observed things about her that I appreciate probably more now than I did when we had her. One of the things that I really now think about is, if we'd be out in public, especially as she got older, shopping was not her thing, but she would find someone to talk to. Just realized how much she really loved on people, and yeah, I appreciate that about her.
Mm. my dad said about eating what's set before you. That got passed on to the next generation. I can eat a lot of things, including duck tongue.
I had to think of this morning. I know my mom, I think of that over the years. She's still living, but she's under hospice care, and her mind is a little bit confused sometimes. It's a little difficult to accept that because it's not herself sometimes. Because over the years, she was always, I guess I look at it, just the love she had for her family. She was always there. She was a very patient mother, and I really do appreciate that, and I think that's something I want to do my part in passing on, because she was just very willing to be there when needed.
My mother was a widow twice, and through the health journeys with her husbands, she would always think, one day at a time, God's grace is sufficient. So if anybody's facing a hard time, just don't look ahead too far, but God's grace is sufficient for the day you need it.
My mom always did well at listening, something that I aspire to do better at. Another thing about my mom is you could always find her, if you needed something, go to her. She could find it in her purse, rummage around, stuff flying. And I always said, I will never be like that. Well, you'll often see me rummaging and stuff flying out of my purse. Watching my mom pour into her grandkids has made me realize just how much she poured into my life. So thank you, Mom.
Beautiful testaments of the impact of a mother. Thank you for sharing, and that gives us little pictures into what a godly mother is. And on this Mother's Day, it is my prayer that we can honor mothers, our mothers, and remember what they have done for us, not only on today, but a reminder to be thankful always. Anybody know when the first official Mother's Day ceremony took place? What year? A little trivia. It was the first Mother's Day ceremony, and then in 1914, it was the first official holiday. It all started with Anne Jarvis wanted to lift up or connect mothers. It was over the time of the Civil War. So mothers from the North and South, she wanted them to connect. And her prayer was that a holiday would be started to honor mothers. It did not happen in her lifetime. She died, and her daughter pushed for it after her. And in 1914, it became an official holiday. Unfortunately, in just a couple years after it became an official holiday, card-making companies and flower shops said they viewed it as a money-making deal, and it has become quite commercialized as we know today. It's all about the card and the flower. But the real purpose of Mother's Day was to remember mothers and honor them beyond just the gifts that we give them. And so that is my prayer today. My story, or When I think of my mom and what she has done for me, one happening that happened in my life that stands out, that just kind of encapsulated what a mom's life is all about, happened when my sister Janessa had an accident. She was sledding down the hill, and she ran into the back of our vehicle, and it was right at eye level, and so the muffler gashed a nice big slit above her eye. So blood is going everywhere. Dad was outside. He swallowed up Janessa and rushed her inside, and Mom is inside, and Dad was worked up. What are we going to do? We should call 911. What's going to happen next? And Mom calmly, sit down. Let me take a look. Yeah, we're probably going to have to go to the doctor for that. And she just calmly went about her business and gathered the things necessary. All right, Dad, take her out to the car, and let's head on our way. That's the life of a mom. In those emergency situations, and you could say some ladies respond differently, but as a mom, she showed me in that moment that a mom shows care. And she handled that situation patiently. And behind that incident was a mother's heart. Her experience in the past is, we need to go take care of that. It'll be all right. We're going to do everything we can. So this morning, as I share a little Mother's Day message, my title is A Mother's Love. And I want to inspire all ladies to use the mother heart that God has given you. You know, in life, we all seek to have a purpose. We want to know that we have a place, a purpose in life. And as I think about men and ladies and the mother heart that God has instilled in all ladies, it's beautiful. Men, we need that. That mother heart, the caring heart. And each of you ladies have been given that. And so I want to inspire you to use that. We're going to look at a story to look at some practical applications of what that looks like. Before we get there, in Genesis, we see that man and woman was formed. And out of man came the rib, and that's how Eve was formed. And as we think about men and ladies, sometimes there's jokes back and forth of characteristics of the gender compared to the others, and jokes can be had. But in reality, as we stop and look at the male and female that God has made in humans, both have pictures of the attributes of God. They all point back. God has the caring, the love, the mercy that is often found in ladies. And then in men, he's the leader. He's the provider. He's the protector. And it's a beautiful picture of how these attributes are an image of God. As I think about a dad and a mom, sometimes I think of a mom as, if we're talking about a team, mom is the fitness trainer, and dad is the coach. So dad's on the sidelines calling out the shots. He's leading the team. All right, we're going to do this next. But the fitness trainer needs to be right there, making sure that the players are prepared and ready to play. Can you do without the one? No, they're needed. They work in tandem. When a player gets injured, they go to the sidelines, the personal trainer's around there. No, he's got to sit out. And so they're working together. And so that's a little picture I see of a father and a mother working together. Turn with me to 1 Samuel this morning. As we think about being inspired in the role of a mother. A mother's love. And as you go through the Bible, there are many real good instances and stories of godly mothers. And one I want to reference here this morning is Hannah. And really, there's three things that I see here, three relationships that is pointed to. There's a relationship with her husband. She had a right relationship, a heavenly relationship, and she had a right home relationship. Those three relationships are what I want to look at as we look at the story of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathim Zohim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. The reality of life is this. Hannah was in a difficult spot. Elkanah had two wives. And so obviously, the wife who had the children, Peniah, was looked up to more. And Hannah was without child. So that's the setting. That's where we're entering into Hannah's life. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of the host in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. So let me stop here. What happens is they go to the temple to worship. And they take sacrifices. And there's leftover sacrifices that they bring back. So as he's coming back, Elkanah gives, he spreads the wealth. He spreads the what is left over. But to Hannah, he gives a double portion. So there was something about Hannah and his relationship that he revered and honored. And so as they came back, he gives Hannah a double portion. For he loved Hannah. There was a relationship there. But the Lord had shut up her womb. The reality of it. A hard reality. And her adversary also provoked her sore. Her adversary referring to the other wife, Peniah. For to make her fret. Because the Lord had shut up her womb. As he did so year by year. When she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So we see here not getting along with Peniah. Peniah was an adversary. Peniah was mocking, was laughing at Hannah's situation of not being able to have children. And year after year this happened. And so provoked, so disturbed, distraught she was that she wept and she didn't eat. Then Elkanah's watching, and this is Elkanah's response to her wife weeping. Husbands, does your wife ever cry? And you're not sure how to respond? Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Elkanah comes to her and says, Hannah, am I not worth anything to you? Am I not worth more than 10 sons? I know you want to have children, but I'm here. I have a relationship with you. In this moment, we see that Hannah had a right husband relationship. She had a husband who cared for her, who loved her, who gave her a double portion. And in the midst of this hardship of not being able to have children, he cared in the best way that he knew how. He wanted to hear her. Men, a godly man is the soil in which a godly mother grows best. A godly man is the soil in which a godly mother grows best. If we want our wives and our mothers to be godly, men, we need to lead in that relationship. And as we see here, Elkanah led in that by going to worship, and he invited his wives along. And then when he saw she was in turmoil, he went to her. He tried to comfort. I love you. There was a right husband relationship. So if we're supposed to put our wives in a place where they are supposed to be godly and gracious and lead well in their areas of life, men, we need to do our part in making sure the soil is rich for her to grow and lead her to God's pastures and God's waters. So the first thing I see as we think about a mother's love, we see a right husband relationship. That is the soil. Secondly, We see a right heavenly relationship. Continue with me in verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor upon his head. Let me stop here. She was not asking in a selfish way. She had a correct heavenly relationship with her father. She, I think, was remembering the verse in 2 Timothy. Well, at this point it wasn't written, but she knew that a woman would be saved in childbearing. Back in the garden, when God put upon the punishment on Eve for the sin that she had done, God said, I'm going to give you pain in childbearing. But at the same time, when a woman brings a child into the world, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, that is how a woman is saved in childbearing. Hannah knew that she wanted to give back to God. And that was through, and she wanted to have her son so that she could give him back to God. It was not a selfish motive of, God, you've not allowed me to have any children. I want a child for me. No, I want to fulfill the desire you have for my life. And that is the state that Hannah was in. She wanted God's will to be done. Her wish and request was not personal. It was for God's glory. Continue with me in verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips move, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, but for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Her relationship with her father was in the correct place. Mothers, if you want to serve your families well, you need to bring your life before your father in heaven. You need to have that heavenly relationship in the place that it should. Only out of that will you be able to give to your family. And because Hannah was in that place, she said, God, she was weeping desperately for God's will to be done. And she said, I'm going to give him back to you. It's not for me, it's for you. Her love for her father in heaven was evident. Her desire that God's will is done was evident. That is a right heavenly relationship. And then we get to where God does answer her prayer. Come with me to verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice, and his vow should not be purged. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up unto the child to be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good to thee. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up, with the three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. So finally, when God answered her prayer, she did not selfishly take Samuel into her life to bring her the joy that she wanted as a mom. She stayed committed to her promise. And mothers, what is a right home relationship? As children come into your home, it takes effort. It takes losing some hours of sleep at night. It takes wisdom from God to lead. And it is so easy. Human nature is that we're selfish in that. And it is easy for a mother to say, my child is mine. But God gives children like arrows to shoot them out. He gives children for a time to prepare them for further service in God's kingdom. And that, mothers, is a proper perspective of your home. You see, your job as a mother, I titled the sermon, A Mother's Love, is to love your children and point them to your father, to point them to your husband. Remember I said the two things that were evident in Hannah's life was a proper relationship with her husband and a properly heaven relationship with her father in heaven. Out of those relationships come a place where you can have a proper home relationship. And mothers, let me tell you a truth. Your job is not to protect and coddle your children. That's the dad's job. The dad's job is to protect. Your job is to love them to death. Let them experience life and the pain. Let them face those things out there. You're not going to be able to control all of that. You do your best, but you can't control all the things that happen, and that's okay. Your only job as a mother is to love them. That's what God gave you. He gave you a mother's heart. When they come to you, you hug them. You kiss them. It's all better. You point them to your Father which is in heaven. You show them what a relationship is like by the relationship with your husband. And then, when they go and experience life, when they're at school, when they're with their friends, when they're here and there, and pain comes about, don't go running and try to just take care of the problem out there. Just hug them. Love them. Show them you care. Let them experience life and pain, then bandage them and love them when they come home. That's a mother's heart. That's how you will keep their heart as they grow older. That's how you keep it as they enter the teenage years. There was a story in the Bible of a mother who did try to pave the way for her children and make sure everything was in their proper place. That was the mother of James and John. You remember that? When the disciples were arguing about who would be first and who would sit beside Jesus. James and John's mother had the audacity to go to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, can you let my sons be up there on the list? She was trying to protect and make the way perfect. As parents, we try to give our children everything we can, but we can't control everything. And so, mothers, when your children come back to you, love them, care for them. A story that my mom did to me, and Sue, this includes you. In Grenada, when we lived there, my uncle and aunt, Ray and Sue, and my cousins, Eddie and Philip, came down to visit for a time. And one day we went out on the point, a little piece of land jutting out into the ocean, the waves crashing. It was evening. It was a wonderful time. And I think Dad and Ray got the grill out, and they were doing hot dogs or something for supper. And in the meantime, the children were playing, and there was these great rocks around there. And we practiced some rock jumping. And so we were seeing how far we could jump and how many rocks we could jump at a time. Well, little dear Zach didn't think about what's beside the rocks. Well, what's in a desert land of Grenada? Cactus. I took one big long jump. I was going to beat Eddie, and I missed. And I landed beside it and landed smack on a cactus. I screamed. Mom and Sue came running to my rescue. They took me to the bus. They took off my shirt and slowly proceeded to pull the needles out of my back. You remember that, Sue? In that moment, they didn't say, "Zach, why? What were you thinking? Come on, Zach. Like, there's a cactus beside the rocks. Of course you don't jump there." No. No, they didn't try to control that. They let me go jump. They let me get hurt. And then when I came back, they loved me. My mom cared for me. It was a painful experience, but I remember feeling cared for and not looked down on. Mothers, that's a little picture of what you can do for your children. A right home relationship. And so, a mother's love has a right husband relationship, has a right heavenly relationship, and has a right home relationship. It's geared to mothers with children. But I said that God has instilled in each woman, in each female, a mother's heart. And some of us are like Hannah, and we don't have children. We don't have that opportunity. And it's hard, but it's okay. Because you can still use your mother's heart in the people that you're with. You can. Look for areas where you can use your mother's heart to the people around you and show care and love. That's a blessing and a purpose that God has given you as ladies. So look for that. Use it. A mother's love. It's a beautiful thing. And on this Mother's Day, my cry to each one of us is that we would honor our mothers. Mothers, you have a tremendous responsibility, and we are graced that for the efforts that you put into our lives. How do we honor mothers? Husbands, did you get your flowers and cards? Is that what Mother's Day is all about? Children, did you get your mom a gift? Is that what Mother's Day is all about? In the culture that we are in today, gifts is prioritized heavily. But I witnessed something the other week. The Mussers got together for a whole day. It was a challenge finding a date for us all to be together. And we were together from about 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And we planned to give Ruth Ann's parents a gift. And we were going to make a pergola. And the ladies were going to do some yard work and flower bed work around there. We were going to give Mom and Dad something to show them that we care for them, to honor them. So we go about our day, we navigate building the pergola, we navigate pulling out the weeds in the flower bed. But guess what? All day, it was just the family being together. So when we got to the end of the day, what do you think Norma's response was? "Thanks for the pergola?" I think that did come. "Man, this is so neat to have everybody together. Ah, I have all my children together." And so, here, the point of my story is this. To honor our mothers, let's give them our time. Time means so much in these days. Let's give of our time. That speaks, that shows honor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the mothers, the godly mothers that we have, the role models that we have. And I thank you for creating male and female. And I thank you for a mother's heart that you've given ladies. And I pray that you would give our ladies a sense of purpose, a sense of calling, to use that mother's heart that you've given them to love and care for those around them. I lift up the mothers to you who've invested in us, godly mothers who've pointed us to you. I pray that mothers could aspire to have a right husband relationship. I pray that we as men could create the soil for a godly woman to grow. I pray that godly mothers would pursue a right heavenly relationship, and out of that will come a proper home relationship where they can love their children and point them to you. So I pray that you could bless the mothers on this Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. Song, Joe.
Turn your songs of faith and praise, 539. Higher Ground. So 1 and 4. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining. Every day, still praying as I'm homeward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table.
And pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And I pray that we could go from here blessed. And I pray that we could honor the mothers around us. Be with us this week. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.